Biz with Gugulethu Mfuphi. Legally speaking on Kaya Biz.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, Legally Speaking, where we talk all things legalese in just a moment. A reminder that you can certainly tweet us at Kaya on Air. Use the hashtag Kaya Biz, and of course, tweet me at Gugumfuphi. We, in a moment ago, we actually were in conversation with Mamkhumo Shongwe, and a tweet here coming in from Anthea Arthur, who says, great interview with Khumo. Hope she keeps moving forward. All the best to the team there at the Hook. And I guess a very realistic outview, right, on overview in terms of the experience within the tourism and hospitality sector that we really need to spur on and continue to support with the short lefts that we take here and there. So as South Africans, do the little you can to keep our economy going in all aspects of things. But today we shift our focus now to all things legally speaking, and this is where we try to clarify some of the technicalities that often occur when it comes to all things that have to do with the law. Because if you think about it, the law impacts a large aspect of our lives and the things that we do in business. To help us unpack this further, we're joined by Thomas Loban. He's the head of crypto assets taxation at Taxing Consulting SA. And this is on the back of a story that's been shared by Business Tech that highlights that SARS will likely have the opportunity to review your social media platforms, credit cards, and other data to see what taxes you owe. Very similar to the issue of lifestyle audits. But to again help us and welcome and give us clarity on this is Thomas Loban, head of crypto assets taxation at Tax Consulting SA. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Indeed. Thank you so much. So really do appreciate it, because even getting stuck by the gremlins, but glad that you actually made time to join us this evening, Thomas.
Absolute pleasure.
Indeed. Let's start with just seeking clarity first. There's been a lot of conversation and murmurings in the market that SARS will tax South Africans who might have certain gains that they make from the sale of cryptocurrencies or earnings that they have in that regard. And of course, evaluating where South Africans might be shortchanging the revenue service. Help us unpack where we are in terms of that regulation first, before we take a look at the inclusion of social media, credit cards, and of course, concerns around cryptocurrencies.
Absolutely. So it's been well publicized recently that SARS has been undergoing a massive exercise to improve their capacity to deal with non-compliance, bringing on a large number of new expertise in order to allow them to audit those returns and those taxpayers who haven't been compliant. And part of that is obviously with regard to crypto, where in practice and obviously on SARS' side, what we've seen is a huge reluctance to comply with one's tax obligations. Obviously, anonymity and freedom is something that constitutes quite a draw for many crypto investors. But at the same time, that reluctance to pay or to render unto Caesar what Caesar is due is a problem. So SARS is looking at different avenues in order to collect and at the same time identify those problematic taxpayers that might be owing.
Oh, yeah, it's quite concerning, because you're right, there is slight resistance and hesitance in that regard. But let's start there. Why is there a sense of resistance? Is this because there isn't clear understanding of how much one will be taxed on cryptocurrencies or crypto assets? And is there a way, I guess, of navigating the level of uncomfortability that taxpayers have in this regard?
Well, on one hand, it's an obligation on a person to make sure that they make good on their taxes. But at the same time, when you look at crypto assets in particular, for the longest time, taxpayers were left thinking that this wasn't subject to tax, specifically because it didn't fall within any regulatory ambit. And that bubble, so to speak, has been burst recently. And now what the issue seems to be in the market is that there's not enough guidance on how the tax would be levied, when it would be levied, and we haven't seen as much guidance perhaps from SARS, for example, as one would like, although it can't be said that SARS hasn't tried to give that guidance. So it's really coming from a place of misunderstanding and feeling, in many cases, hard done by. You know, misunderstandings such as, if you're going to be subject to tax, most advisors out there in tax are still saying that simply pay capital gains tax. And when you tell a crypto investor, this is subject to a higher rate. It's your normal tax bracket based on your profits. Others are interpreting that as you're going straight to the 45%, the highest tax bracket in the country. Others are saying, well, if I have a historic... if I have a historic liability, can't I just throw it into this year's return? But it's not that simple. Mm. You know, so many crypto investors now are finding themselves in a position where they're being informed, rightfully so, that they have to take historic corrective action, such as through a voluntary disclosure program application, or in certain cases where it's possible, an objection, or even a request for correction on a return, which might bring an interest liability on top of just the tax liability itself. Mm. So coming to the party late, shall we say, for many crypto investors, is what is creating that hesitancy. And a lot of individuals are hoping to simply hide their heads in the sand rather than deal with the issue. Mm. But the problem with that is that when one does that, SARS will inevitably start taking those steps to meet them wherever they are.
And that's not what we want, right? Because that doesn't always have a very happy ending. In fact, the penalties and the fees and the costs might be so much more substantial. So, Thomas, I can imagine you must be sitting opposite a lot of individuals or clients thinking to themselves, if I am a cryptocurrency holder, whether it's used for trading or investing, what do I do in terms of payments to SARS? Where to start?
Absolutely. And it depends. You know, by far the most difficult part is determining what that individual's profit or loss is in the first place. And because of the way transactions are reported or tracked by each exchange, when you pull that transactional data, which is not always the easiest thing to do, especially for platforms such as, for example, Binance, which restrict how much of that data you can pull at a time, you have to go all the way back to the original deposit or transfer. Mm. It's not to say that those statements will give you an opening balance for the tax year and a closing balance. You have to find that from a long list of running transactions since the opening of that account. And when you pass that hurdle, it doesn't just stop there. You then have to figure out how you're going to take that forward with SARS. In many cases, it's as simple as filing a tax return, absolutely. But most taxpayers, and especially those in the crypto sphere, are not those who have traded independently and necessarily know how to complete their tax return other than through an IRP-5 from their employer. So that guidance, and in some cases, for lack of a better term, that hand-holding is absolutely necessary. Otherwise, the nerves kick in and they say, I'd rather not. And you can't do that. So you have to face that dragon.
You're quite right. We do need that handholding because we're also walking in unknown territory here, as you say, especially the concerns around the numbers and the figures and the amount of tax that might have to be paid. But there's something very interesting that you mentioned in terms of identifying the profit or the loss on the cryptocurrency that you've made. I'm assuming then that one would actually have to then have sold or transacted cryptos in order to actually report or identify what the profit or loss is versus someone who just might be holding on to crypto for the long term.
You are absolutely correct. So tax will not be levied just because you're holding crypto. If you're somebody who has bought crypto or otherwise acquired crypto somehow, and you've sat on it and you've allowed it to grow, or you've just accumulated more crypto, you're not somebody who will have a SARS concern at this point. You know, those who will have a SARS concern and those who will have to account for the tax are those who have either sold crypto for money, whether it's in rands or another foreign currency, regardless of whether that's inside South Africa or outside of South Africa. It's the individuals who have swapped during the tax year, swapped one crypto for another crypto, including stable coins, or who have sold crypto in exchange for goods and services. And then finally, those who participate in DeFi or decentralized finance, as we're seeing evolving now, where you earn amounts in the form of crypto, either in interest or from mining rewards or what's called staking. where you earn derivative bits of crypto at a time as a reward for keeping it in a wallet.
There we go with the technicalities.
These are the events.
Yeah. And I guess that's what adds to the confusion, because so many people do very many different things with cryptocurrencies. Are there, I guess, easy ports of not only extracting this information, but also making sure that one understands how to report this particular data to SARS? Are there steps or basic entities we can have that could assist us in terms of guidelines as to how to report this?
If one is on the lookout for the information is actually readily available. I mean, not only us, but others do host webinars to allow taxpayers to learn about what they need to look out for and how to take this forward from a tax perspective. General good practice will be to make sure that you have your own reconciliation, like an Excel spreadsheet, of your different transactions that you're carrying out, the crypto that you're earning, the values of that crypto as it's being earned, how much you're spending, not only in purchasing the crypto, but in fees as well. Mm-hmm. And when in doubt, absolutely consult a tax expert, but one who understands crypto.
Yes.
Which is, again, it's quite novel. And there are certain programs out there, none that actually perfectly conform with the South African tax laws, but it does give a good starting point to taxpayers who want to make sure that they have their reporting standardized. And again, pulling transactional reports from those exchanges is absolutely paramount, because that will be the raw data that SARS will want to see to verify that you are being honest about your disclosure.
My goodness. Okay, this is quite a process, but I think very important information that we need to share with our audience, because we don't want anyone falling on the wrong side of the law. If you've just joined our conversation, we are speaking to Thomas Loban, who is the head of crypto asset taxation at Tax Consulting SA, helping us unpack all the varying concerns about how it is that the South African Revenue Service is looking to ensure that South Africans are honest in terms of their disclosure regarding their holdings in cryptocurrencies. Not just the holding, but rather identifying the profit or the loss that you might have made on trading cryptocurrencies. And that's where the important data does need to be disclosed to SARS, to make sure that you're reporting accurate numbers from the date of deposit or investment that you might have made, and then from there calculating the various gains or losses that might have been made throughout the tax years. Thomas, you mentioned something so important, which is going back to basics, right? Making sure that your numbers are in place, you've got your Excel spreadsheet in order, raw data that SARS can evaluate and identify, and primarily making sure that you have this if you have actually traded or sold or transacted in cryptocurrencies using the myriad of options that might be available. I'm keen to also understand, as we've seen in some of the headlines, if one fails to do this, how else can SARS track this information related to your transactions with cryptocurrencies? Social media is one of those that's come up as a buzzword that they might even use to evaluate your holdings of crypto.
Absolutely. In fact, we've seen in headlines just earlier this year that SARS has identified taxpayers previously through their social media postings. I think there was a recent millionaire who was quite a trendsetter who got caught by SARS through exactly that fashion. So if you're somebody who is quite vocal on a platform like Twitter or Facebook about your holdings, what the next big play will be in crypto, that's something that SARS can easily pick up on, albeit SARS would need to know to look at you. So how do they get there? This is where the net widens from a SARS investigative point of view, because it isn't just stalking social media. You won't have individuals at SARS who are just trolling the different forums every day trying and comparing that against taxpayer records to see if they can find something. There are more direct approaches that SARS can actually take. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're looking into you, social media is absolutely one that's possible. But it goes further. SARS in early June contacted 12 of South Africa's own crypto asset exchange platforms and pulled taxpayer data from them. They're entitled to in terms of the Tax Administration Act, in terms of our law. And
Poppy
they
wouldn't
can
override
those...
that, would that? Sorry to jump in there. Poppy, the Poppy
no
app
worries.
Wouldn't override it?
No, there are confidentiality provisions that apply to taxpayer information, but SARS is entitled to access that information as a tax collection imperative. Remember, with our tax collection, there's no revenue to run the country.
Yes, perfect. That's important, and I think I'm glad that you've clarified that, because some old members of our audience might think, well, hold on, we've got the Poppy Act, so my information should be protected. But as you say, this does override that particular case. Happy for you to continue on with where you left off. So they're able to access that information, and what do they identify?
Well, that's the thing. So this is not necessarily a slam dunk if you're on a platform that hasn't undergone a Know Your Customer, a KYC process with you. But again, it doesn't stop there. You will have an email address. You will have certain breadcrumbs, credit card transactions, bank transactions. They can identify that. They can compare that against their records to see which accounts are owned by crypto platforms. They can identify you through that means. Going further, when you submit a tax return, SARS often sends out what's called a verification request, a form of audit letter where they ask for outstanding documents and information. Mm. And we've seen this a number of times already, and last tax season as well. Last year was very interesting because SARS asked these particular questions on returns where there was no crypto disclosure, asking the taxpayers to explain why they purchased cryptocurrency and to provide them with their transactional records, a letter from the platform confirming the transactions made, and their bank statements.
Mm.
This is something that is perfectly available to SARS to capitalize on, because if you lie in your response to such a letter, or you don't respond to those questions, but you're a taxpayer who should, immediately that's a tax offense. And should SARS deem it worthwhile from a revenue standpoint and a fiscal resources standpoint, they can initiate criminal proceedings. You'd be subject to a fine or imprisonment of up to 2 years, or in more serious cases for certain tax offenses, up to 5 years imprisonment. So the hammer really is there, hanging over many taxpayers' heads, but it shouldn't be anything to worry about.
Mm.
As long as you take those steps that you need to take to at least try and remain compliant.
Mm. And I guess, as you say, take the steps to try and remain compliant, and don't try any, I nearly said funny business, but I guess that is what it is, right? Quick withdrawals or new transactions or moving money into accounts that you think no one will be able to find, because essentially, regardless of where it is, SARS does have the opportunity to look into different jurisdictions, even outside of South Africa's borders. Would that be correct?
That is absolutely correct. South Africa has a chain of, on my last count, 83 double taxation agreements with other countries around the world. And even broader than that, South Africa has entered into certain multilateral treaties with many other countries around the world that facilitate the transfer of information, either upon SARS request or in many, many, many other cases, automatically. So if you're transferring funds through a foreign account into a foreign crypto platform, or from a crypto platform into a foreign account, and you're trying to channel your income outside and keep it outside of the South African fiscus, it quite simply isn't going to work. And if it works for you, SARS is probably going to find you 2 or 3 years down the line, and it's going to be an even less kind interaction.
Yes. Very true. Thomas, thank you so much. You've really given us a lot of information, and I'm soaking it in, and I can't wait to continue sharing these kind of updates, because many South Africans have shown a great amount of interest in crypto assets, but are not mindful of some of the consequences that they need to bear in mind. I've realized that SARS has shared a Q&A or FAQs answer in session on their website that is easily accessible to many of our listeners. But I guess for anyone who is listening for this evening, if we had to wrap up this conversation, what would the key takeaway themes be for them to be cognizant of, primarily if they have any kind of exposure to cryptocurrencies?
Absolutely. If you have a gain in your cryptocurrency and you either liquidate or move that investment elsewhere into another crypto or another format, or you're earning in crypto, there is tax. It's not worthwhile to stick your head in the sand and keep away from the revenue collector. And there are always steps that you can take to remain compliant. Even if you feel feel like you cannot afford the tax there, there are still steps that can be taken. You can enter into a compromise arrangement with SARS if you have to, but make sure that you approach SARS before SARS starts approaching you.
Definitely. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Thomas. Really appreciate the feedback that you've shared with us, and very important lessons for people to learn. If you have ever transacted or seen a gain in your crypto assets, do be mindful of disclosing that to SARS and following up on the kind of arrangements that do need to be made. Disclosure is important, and whatever you fail to report, especially where there are profits, you are legally obligated to report them. If you don't, it's essentially tax evasion. So let's not fall on the wrong end of the law here. A big thank you once more to my guest, Thomas Loban, Head of Crypto Assets Taxation at Tax Consulting SA.
Legally speaking on Kaya Biz.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfuphi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the streets, on the air.